Welcome to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Hello and welcome to the Self-Help Podcast. This is episode number 142.
It is.
Is that right?
Yep.
I'm Edward Lamb and Sean Orford's here with me. How are you doing?
I'm pretty good. I'm cool. I'm not 142, but close.
You're getting close, eh?
Good.
In fact, well, you've got a February birthday, haven't you?
Yeah.
So probably by the time this goes out, you will have had your birthday.
Yeah, 28.
Happy birthday. You're looking all right for 28.
Yeah, I am, yeah.
28-year-old with a bus pass. That's a bit odd.
Yeah. You can be 16 with a bus pass.
True. It's true. You're not a free one, though. When did you get... I don't know. Let's not get into what age you're allowed to get a free bus pass. This week we're talking about sex, aren't we?
We are.
Which we'll come on
without the drugs and the rock and roll.
Yeah, I know, yeah. Yeah, a listener has requested, and we'll get to that in a sec, but... Liveinthepresent.co.uk is the website link for us and what we do. Maybe you've missed out on 141 previous episodes and you want to catch up on them. Heart was half an hour times 141.
A lot.
Yeah, it's tricky to work out. It's not metric, is it? So it's a lot.
It's 70 something else.
Yeah. Have a listen. And give us lots of the cool stuff on there as well. What have you been up to, Sean? How's tricks?
It's good. Sex is great.
Yeah.
You'd have to say that on air, right?
Of course you are.
Yeah.
You've got a lad. How old's your... Josh, is he 14, 15?
14, yeah, 15. Yeah.
So he'll be at school well in with all the sex education.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I think they start dishing out now pretty much as soon as they go to secondary school.
I think they're probably doing it in primary school, I think. It's that kind of sexual awareness stuff,
Yeah.
So the world is very sexualized in many ways.
It is.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how's your life?
My life is fine, yeah. All well, yeah, working hard. We're coming out of winter, spring is on the horizon.
So sap's rising?
Yes. Yeah. Big time, yeah.
So sexuality is picking up.
Lots of energy, which I'm ploughing into other things other than sex, yeah.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because we're talking about sexuality here. And although we live in a very sexualized society and sex is all around us and all the adverts are sexy and people are talking about being vajazzled and whatever else on Big Brother. And it's like...
You've been watching Big Brother?
But yeah, I've been...
What's an interesting kind of...
Yeah, this particular series that's just come to a close. Or just coming to a close. Yeah, the third one. It was fascinating to get stuck into because they had such a good... selection of deranged personalities that were quite interesting to watch.
Yeah, I know, I mean, Big Brother gets a bad rap. I haven't seen it for years, but at its core, it's quite an interesting social experiment.
Yeah, this one particularly was interesting to hook into because they did have such a range of people that had interesting issues.
Okay.
In it. So, yeah, it was a therapist's dream, that lot, you know, keep you employed forever.
Yeah, was there any action under the bedsheets?
Oh, all kinds of stuff, yeah, loads.
Really?
And some of it was quite explicit. Some of the people were quite happy to be talking about, you know, I feel horny, I need to have sex now kind of stuff. And other people were a bit kind of shocked by that.
Yeah? I guess that's one of the things that most terrified about going into somewhere like Big Brother or into a community like that, especially when there's cameras on you 24 hours a day. It's kind of how do you satisfy that urge, or if your partner's not there, or... You know, you don't want to be going nipping off to the bathroom and when there's a camera in there and sorting things out. So, interesting stuff, isn't it? Well, we are sexual creatures, aren't we? It's one of the basic things that we need to do while in our time on Earth is...
Not good at talking about it.
No, we're not, are we? We've avoided it on this show for long enough.
Yep.
Well, I think we have done...
We've done odd bits.
We've done odd bits and pieces. Yeah. And we might have done it way back when.
Yeah. But this one comes from a client who actually said to me,
"Can you do a
podcast on sex? You know, is sex overrated in our society? You know, why are we always going on about it?" And interesting for me is that people don't actually talk about it. They do go on about sex, but they don't actually talk about what's going on.
Yeah.
And the issue for her was, and I'm okay to say this because she said, you know, say what you want, is that her husband, partner, is always wanting to have sex. Is always wanting to have sex all the time, and it's like it seems like he walks around with a permanent erection. And the issue for her is, I can't give him a cuddle. I want to have a cuddle. I want to give him a kiss and a cuddle. But as soon as I give him a kiss and a cuddle, then he thinks he's on with the promise, and like off we go again.
Yeah.
So those huge variations in sexual drive that you get in couples that lead to the conflicts.
Yep.
That are going on.
We talked last week about relationship advice and kind of, I guess, how you early on when you get to know a person, things can change, can't they? As they go down the line, energy levels will change. And when it comes to sex, certain people just have higher libidos, don't they? And they're just built a certain way that they...
It's to do with the match and the mismatch, is it? People have said to me, I've had fellas who have come to me and said, my wife partner is insatiable, and feeling almost dehumanised or disenfranchised by the experience, feeling like it wasn't them that the woman wanted to have sex with or make love with. It was like they could have been a carrot on the end of a stick. The woman was masturbating against, because it seemed to for the man to become meaningless. So it isn't just a male-female thing. It's about different drives.
Yeah.
And is it that sex is an expression of love for the person that you're with, or is sex an emotional, physical need?
Yeah, something you just need to do so you can get to sleep.
Yeah, or whatever. Yeah. So I thought it would be good to start with what's known in evolutionary psychology as the sex contract.
The sex contract, okay.
Yeah, so...
The
story is supposed to be this, and I think that this explains a lot about why sexuality is different for men and women at that kind of fundamental level.
Mm-hmm.
That back along, when you're looking at people starting to develop social network, so we're starting to develop what we would see as family units. Now, if I, as a woman, are needing to produce babies, and I need those babies to be fed and to be protected, I need a man who's going to be rough, tough, strong, is going to be able to get the bacon, and is also going to be able to protect the family.
Yep.
Right? So I need a big, hunky, strong fella. But the problem is, big, hunky, strong fellas have lots of problems because they're angry buggers and can be violent and all kinds of stuff. So how can I control them? Well, the sex contract is supposed to be this, is that the human female is the only female mammal who's always on heat. All other animals come in and out of season, whereas women are sexually available all the time. So the deal was...
Has that always been the case for humanity?
As far as we know, it's not true with primates, although a lot of behaviours that human beings have, like rape and stuff, happen in chimpanzee communities too.
Okay.
Yeah. In the sex contract, the idea was that a woman would give herself exclusively to a man in exchange for food and protection, right? But the way that she would control the man... I think
the odd trip to IKEA as well.
Yeah, frequent trips to IKEA.
Yeah.
The way that she would control the man was through sexuality. So she'd keep him hooked into sexuality. But the fundamental difference was, and it remains, is that when a woman orgasms, she's energised and she will get up and go and do things. When a man orgasms, the hormonal response is usually they go to sleep.
Right.
Now, what would happen is you've got this big, rough, tough, strong man who fulfills the needs of the family, but the woman controlled the situation sexually. So she'd give him a good seeing to, and he'd shut up in the corner and go to sleep so she could get on and do the other stuff. And she controlled his aggression and his ability to be useful to her sexually.
Okay.
Yeah. And so that's the idea of the contract, is the payoff. But what it fundamentally means is that sexuality in an evolutionary sense is very different from men and women. For the man, it's this expression of huge masculinity and power and aggression, but leads to using up those hormones so that the guy quietens down. For the woman, it's about using sexuality to get something, to get this guy who's going to look after things, produce the kids. She wants big, strong kids anyway.
Yep.
Yeah. So the approach to sexuality is fundamentally different, which usually means that men will say things to me like, if only women wanted sex as much as men do, it would be all right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you get this mismatch, and you're right that in that fundamental honeymoon period where people are bonking at it like rabbits, usually the woman is making herself much more available to the man so that she can develop the contract. But once she's got the man, the drive changes.
I knew it.
you know the research about when if you look at women in nightclubs, the women who are dancing most provocatively and are showing most body are usually ovulating.
Okay.
Yeah, that they're actually fertile and waiting to reproduce.
Right.
And they unconsciously their body
even
goes
if they don't
in,
know it. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, the body goes into a display mode.
Right.
Yeah. I guess that the what happens then is that if you've got this huge male drive to develop sexual experience, which is then diminished in the woman once she's created the contract, what does the man do with his sexuality? Yeah, so then you get the issues of prostitutes, you get the issue of porn, you get the issues of masturbation, you get all those issues that are going on.
Yep.
For the man to fulfil his needs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And these are these aren't new things, like well, you mentioned there.
Yeah.
Prostitution's the oldest game
in the world,
going,
yeah. Yeah.
So these issues have been pretty much around since forever for us.
Yeah. Yeah. If a man has an overriding sexual drive and his wife actually isn't, or partner isn't actually interested in fulfilling that, what does he do?
Mm.
You know, lots of therapists that I've worked with over the years are quite surprised by the problem that that people in relationships have with extramarital sex.
Yeah.
And they would say to me things like, well, if your partner doesn't want to have sex and you do, and you go and do it with someone else, why does that become a deal breaker? It's like if your partner wanted to go and do a weaving class or something, you didn't want to do it, you wouldn't consider that to them being unfaithful.
Yeah.
But when we cross this sexual line, then it becomes a problem.
Whoa! Yeah.
Yeah. So what's going on? And I think it is. It's down to that idea about people making that personal contracting issue between them.
Yeah.
As to what's right and what's wrong for them. How do they work that?
Yeah.
But I do see that sexuality for men and women is fundamentally different. Yeah. And even the sexual act is fundamentally different. When you talk to women in detail, the issues of sensuality, foreplay and afterplay can very often be more important than the penetrative orgasmic stuff.
Sure.
Yeah. Whereas the man can be focused around the orgasmic stuff and sod the foreplay.
So if
the foreplay is brace yourself, Gladys, I'm coming in, it's different to actually having a sensual build-up to something. Mm.
There's a site I came across last week. I'm always looking at the School of Life stuff,
yeah,
videos on YouTube. And
yeah,
there was one about porn addiction, which I'll link to in the show notes, which is really cool. Kind of a 21st century issue. I feel quite lucky, actually, in the sense that when I was at school, it's not that porn wasn't around when I was like 17, 18, a bit younger even maybe. You know, you were kind of limited to the fact that maybe you'd find, one of your pals would find a crumpled up Daily Sport in a hedge on the way to school, and that would be like, whoa! That was about as much as you could get. Now, it's, you know, it's instant, it's everywhere online. I'm sure, as I've got two young lads, so when they get older, I'll probably be having to get up to speed on software for computers to try and block it as much as I can. And I can stop it at the router now, can't you?
So. And that's interesting, isn't it? Because there you are as a young man craving all this stuff. And as an old man, you're blocking it for your young man.
Well, that's what I assume. So, yeah, I'm guessing that my lads will be too clever. They'll outsmart me, so they'll just find a way around it anyway.
Does that mean that that parents in the past were patrolling hedges to find daily sports to
get rid of? I'm guessing they probably did, but I feel looking at since that I had a somewhat of an innocence in my youth because I just didn't have wall-to-wall porn to access.
And you've been making up for it since.
Exactly, yeah. But it's that, yeah, porn these days is massive, isn't it? It's apparently it takes up like 70% of all the internet is kind of online video. For porn, it's massive. It's going to change more so with virtual reality as that sneaks in in the coming years. We've touched on this thing called
teledildonics. I think that I find that hysterically funny.
What do you want to explain to the listeners what this is?
Yeah, what happens is, I've worked with people that are into teledildonics, is that say the man is in Britain and his partner lives in Hong Kong or somewhere. But they have this internet teledildonic relationship. And what that means is that at his end, he's got a mouse that's connected to the computer, which is connected to a dildo, which is inside the woman. And at her end, she's got a mouse, which is connected to her computer, which is connected to an imitation vagina that he's got on at the other end.
Blimey.
And both of them can make their device move by moving their mouse.
Mm-hmm.
So they can have this kind of remote sexual relationship where they can bring each other to orgasm.
Might not. Well, it doesn't have to be. Who's got a mouse these days? Like, he has a trackpad or do it on your iPad or whatever.
Yeah. The mouse squeaks, but you have to rub the mouse's balls on the table to make them squeak.
Yeah. But teledildonics, man, it's crazy. And people will be putting on headsets and you'll be in a situation. And it's like, I wonder what the social the contract between partners, because at the moment, I can see why couples can split over actually having sex physically with a person. Porn is kind of a bit of a grey area. It's not happy.
I get big deals.
Do you?
Again, mainly guys needing the porn, and then the women coming along and saying, "Well, I'm not good enough. Obviously, you know, our relationship doesn't work. I can't maintain the relationship on the basis that you need porn and all that kind of stuff." So that it is an issue and does become a deal breaker for people.
Yeah, but I wonder, legally speaking, what point we'll get to where it will be considered sex with a person if you've done it virtually with all sorts of who knows what apparatus from 2,000 miles away. Will that be considered in like a divorce settlement?
Was that being unfaithful?
Unfaithful, yeah.
But the kinds of things that are weird for me about sexuality and the way that we perceive it here is that the issue of child pornography, and I've got people that I've worked with that are in prison at the moment that I actually work with in prison while they're trying to resolve their issues, is that in our categories of how we categorise pornography, there's a point at which you have graphic pornography, like the Avatar film.
Okay, yeah.
So you can get films of, like, animated films of the most obscene gross pornography that you could think of, and it's not illegal because it's not real people.
Okay, right.
Yeah, it can be so lifelike, it looks like real people, but because it's not real people, it's not illegal.
Right, okay.
Yeah, and that's the same kind of issue that you're talking about, isn't it? It's like, at what point do these things become legal, illegal, things that can be litigated against or whatever?
Yeah,
and it is a hugely confusing area. But the issue about is sexuality overrated? I think in terms of the amount of consciousness that people put into sexuality, it probably becomes more and more of a problem as it gets in the way of people living their lives.
Well, it's used as a sales. Sex sales, isn't it? So it's it's everywhere. It literally is because.
Yeah,
good-looking guys and girls appear on adverts everywhere, trying to sell us things. So it's pervaded all areas of culture, hasn't it? Really. Well, as to whether it's overrated, I guess that's probably not the right way to tackle the issue because it's it's just something we need to deal with. It's everywhere, isn't it?
Mm.
So it's not that it's overrated, it's that...
When you look at the analytical school of psychology, they would look at sexuality and a normal sexual pattern as being an indication of emotional health.
Yep.
That when people get emotionally disturbed, then they get repressive and they start to hold back and they become, you know, frigid or impotent or whatever it is that's going on.
Yeah.
Because they're not flowing naturally emotionally. And I kind of get that. I understand that. And a lot of times when I work with people that are having problems with sexuality and they can't perform, men or women, usually it's nothing to do with the plumbing. It's to do with the emotions. It's to do with whatever's going on in other parts of the world, you know.
Yeah.
But I think that fundamentally is that sexuality can be very different for men and women.
Mm.
Yeah. And when you get a woman who is sexually active and is and has that kind of sexual drive that we'd see as male, usually that woman's described as an old bike or a whore. Whereas when the man's like it, it's like he's a good old boy. He's a good old dog.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is wrong
right,
too.
Consistencies there, aren't
yeah,
they?
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's an episode, I always manage to squeeze it in somewhere, don't I? There's an episode of
Seinfeld. Not Seinfeld.
Seinfeld. Which Seinfeld's all about sexuality, it's about relationships and what have you. It's actually, it crops up all the time. There's a great episode called The Contest, where they have the four of them have a contest to see who can go without sex or masturbation for the longest. Like, Kramer lasts about 30 seconds. There's a lady in the flat opposite. Walks around naked, so he's out straight away. There's a lady in it as well. So there's three blokes and a lady, and she says, "I want to join this contest." And they're all like, "No, no, it's not the same for you. It's not the same for you." And goes, "Why?" And she goes, "It's like shaving. It's something we have to do." And she goes, "I shave my legs." And then he goes, "Not every day." Anyway, there's another episode where George, because he's always kind of looking for that right relationship. And he says, decides all of a sudden he's not going to do it anymore. He's going to stop thinking about women. He's going to stop thinking about sex all the time. And the whole episode is him all of a sudden with his freed up energy that he's not putting into kind of thinking about sex. And he becomes a genius and all that stuff. So the thing about sex is it can be amazing. And it is, you know, when two people kind of get together in that spark, it's incredible, isn't it? What an experience. But I just worry that we put too much time into worrying about that one sip, that simple act of life, and like George, if we freed up our time to do other things, what could we achieve, you know?
Yeah,
you know,
I think that the other part of sexuality is because it means different things for different people. It's like people talk about bonking, like fun sex, as opposed to the deep making love emotional sex, as opposed to the physical release kind of physical sex.
Yeah.
And it's like sex has many, many different shapes, functions, facets. And we can't lump it all into one thing. And the biggest issue that comes up when you're working with couples is, does love and sex go together? You know, you can have sex without love and you can have love without sex. You know, how do we work this between us? How does it become something that's meaningful for us? And I think that probably the punchline of this podcast is the one about it's going to be different for different people. But as in the previous podcast, it's about you've got to communicate with your partner to understand where you both are. Like, is it comfortable both?
Yeah, because that will get you to a good place either way, whether it's more frequent sex or just realisation that it's not that necessary anymore. Or...
And if you're not interested in sex and your partner comes along and says, you know, do you mind if I go and, you know, what do you say?
Yeah, blimey. That'd be a big one, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Having the guts to say that, I guess, is tricky. But I always, you know, you hear about older couples who finally kind of reach that point in their relationship where they're comfortable enough to say, I think it's time we got separate beds, just because I want to have a good night's sleep, you know? I always think that's quite a nice thing to do. Not that I want to have, you know, separate beds yet. But yeah, I remember just watching a Grand Designs once where they had this house built for themselves. lovely elderly couple, kind of probably in the 70s. And they actually had it built so that the living room had two tellies side by side with the sofa set up, and they had their own little headphones. So of an evening, and it showed a shot at the end, like, you know, when the house is all done. of them sitting in their little armchairs with their headphones on, watching different things on the telly. I thought, well, that's a level of comfort in a relationship. So, yeah, mm. fair dues. They're honest with yeah. each other. Yeah. I'm sure they have nice little days out and all that.
Yeah.
Maybe yeah. they go back to yeah. maybe they've got a dungeon downstairs where they go and do all sorts.
Shades of Grey.
Yeah, didn't show that bit in the show. Kevin MacLeod looking around. Oh, I like what you've done here. Yeah,
yeah.
The lack of light really adds a lot of.
And that rack of, really looks fun.
Sense of danger. Yeah, living there.
Yeah. yeah.
All right. Anything else?
No. I think that sex is great, but it's great in the right context with the right person. And that's the thing. And if you have someone who's sex mad and you're not, then yes, sex is overrated. Yeah. If you desperately want sex and your partner doesn't, then sex is underrated, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. You're right. It's all about communication. This one, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. But also, you have to look at what do you get out of sex? Think about the sex contract. What's that about? What's going on?
Yeah.
You know. And is sex, because women have said to me that sex is a thing that I put up with to maintain my relationship.
Mm.
Yeah, that's a bad place to be, isn't it?
Yeah, that's not cool.
Putting up with sex, that's not good.
Not at all. Have you got a resource for us then? Or I can see you have, and it's quite an interesting one.
Yeah, it goes back to the Tantra book, which is a full-length mirror. Because I think that to be able to stand naked in front of a full-length mirror and to be okay with what you see makes you much more comfortable sexually.
Yeah.
Yeah, because if you look at yourself, people will say to me, God, you know, I can't look at myself in the mirror. They might say I need ironing or, you know, that however they see themselves. And it's like you have to be comfortable with what you see in the mirror to be comfortable with another person.
Mm.
Yeah, and if you're not, you can't make love. You know, you might be able to have sex, but you can't actually involve yourself in the process unless you feel comfortable with the tools at your disposal, which is your body.
Yeah, it was what's going on. It's true.
You know, when you come well naked in front of the mirror going, I love you, I love you, I love you, you know you've cracked it.
Mm.
I do it every morning.
Yeah, that's one thing I'm not that keen on seeing just yet, Sean, much as I love you. I haven't got a resource put in there, but... I started talking about it, but I don't think I got around to mentioning the website pornastherapy.com.
Oh, yeah.
.com. Leading on from that School of Life video that I'll put up as well. There's a website, Porn as Therapy, which is trying to put a positive spin and embracing the good things about pornography. Making it a force for good rather than.
I think one of the things we have to come to terms with as a society is that pornography is going to get bigger. You know, pornography is already... we were talking about in some surveys, in some age groups, up to 100% of people were using pornography.
Yep.
You know, I mean, huge. And those people are going to grow up into being the bulk of the population.
Mm.
And pornography, internet sexuality, and things like virtual realities and whether people are wearing goggles or they're wearing feely suits is going to be a feature of what happens in our human evolution.
Mm.
And we can either resist it, go with it, understand it.
Yep.
You know, whatever.
For sure.
That's right. Going to be there.
I'll stick it in the show notes for this week's show, which you can find at livingthepresent.co.uk. Next week, we're talking about competition. You may not know it, Sean, but that's what we're talking about.
We're talking about competition.
A listener has emailed in.
Okay.
Good or bad? I think we may have touched on it in the past.
Well, you know my feelings on competition.
I do.
We'll get into those.
We will, yeah. Well, don't give it away just yet.
No.
But yeah, that's what we're talking about next week. So until then, you take care and have a good one, Sean.
And you.
See you later.
Bye.
Toodaloo.